This season of The Go Glow is brought to you with thanks to Electrosol, a simple way to keep on top of your hydration. Not just for athletes, Electrosol is for anyone who wants an easy way to stay hydrated. Whether you're at work, out for a walk, or just getting on with your day, it can also be used to stay hydrated in hot weather. Available in three flavors, there's always one that's perfect for you with a mix of key electrolytes like sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Find Electrosol at your local pharmacy or visit electrosol.ie for more. Electrosol is a food supplement and should not replace a balanced diet. Always read the label before use. Hello and welcome back to the Go Glow podcast. It's part two of my episode with Nicola Haney. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I'd really recommend going back to listen before jumping in to today's episode. So last week, Nicola told us that she was falling head over heels in love with Paul, but he had started to show some red flags with abusive and controlling behaviour. If you read her book, you'll know what happened next. Nicola finally broke up with Paul, but during that time, she had found out she was pregnant with their child. But she was so happy. This was her miracle baby. But during her pregnancy, the worst happened and her cancer came back. She tried to do it alone. She gave birth to her son. She was fighting cancer and in the middle of a custody battle. She knew that she was getting sicker and sicker. During one vulnerable moment, she agreed to get back with Paul so he could help her out while she tried to beat cancer for the second time. A few months later, she decided to go to Thailand for treatment, and everyone who loved her supported her in this decision, although she was devastated because it would mean she would have to leave her son in Ireland. Paul eventually travelled over with their son, but this is when things got really bad and Paul's behaviour was out of control. This is when I enter the story. Paul had told Nicola he'd been talking to me, and I had said that Nicola was a terrible mother for leaving her child. This is when Nicola was at the lowest and most vulnerable part of her entire journey, and she was being led to believe that a fellow breast cancer survivor was saying something terrible about her. Nicola was led to believe that Paul and I were friends, when in fact I had never heard of him and had never been in contact. This was a lie. Things were getting worse for Nicola. She finally fled Thailand with her son and left Paul for good. This is when he made a complaint about her dad to the police, and this was his downfall. During the investigation, the police had taken his phone and uncovered everything that Paul was doing to Nicola. He had finally fallen on his own sword in his own web of lies. As the guards put the case together, Nicola had mentioned me to the guards and they reached out to me asking me if I'd ever heard of Paul Moody or Nicola Haney. I told them not only had I never heard of Paul Moody, but I certainly had never sent him any messages, and there is no way that I had ever had a conversation with him. I knew in that moment the guards believed me, but they never revealed any more details. It was only years later, when the public came to know the details of Nicola's story, that I did too. I'd always wondered about her. I tried to find her online at the time, but she had no Instagram page or website. So all those years later, when I read her book with the rest of the country, I was so shocked at all she had been through. It was far worse for her than I ever could have imagined. One night, as I read her book, I found her new website and I sent her a message with my phone number. A couple of days later, Nicola rang me. We were two complete strangers, but we hit it off like old friends. Nicola told me what Paul had been doing and saying to her, and it shocked me to the core. She told me I wasn't the only one. There was other messages that had been fabricated too. But I am just a tiny, tiny part of Nicola's overall story. Today we pick up our conversation. I wanted to say thank you for all the support you've shown Nicola this week. Thank you, as I've been out and about this week, for all the taps on the shoulder showing me your support too. Thank you for sharing this story, and thank you for leaving us comments on Instagram. We are getting back to each and every one of them. It means so much.
with that manipulation and with that abuse came the phone call to me from the guards to ask me to come to a Garda station close to where I live to discuss Nicola Haney and Paul Moody. So I was saying then, I got the impression from the guards that they were the good guys and that they had your back. In me saying that I had no idea who Paul Moody was, who I'd never heard of him, and that was my truth, I felt like my truth would help you. It was like they knew that the story wasn't true, and all they needed for me to say was, I've never heard of this guy. And that was it. That's all they needed. So I had said, you know, I can make a statement. I can do anything. I tried to find you on Instagram afterwards. But you know, the way you felt like that our paths would cross someday.
It's awful a little bit to how we've met, because I always felt like I always knew I'd get on with you. I tell you, the whole of Ireland wants to get on with you, obviously. But I just always thought we'd have that click as well. And so it was hard to pick up the phone because you'd left me messages, and I was embarrassed. I felt a bit humiliated because that's not who I am as a person. So for our friendship to start off on this note for me, I hated that. But now I don't care because I'm so glad that we've got to meet each other, and it's showing other women and it's showing people that from something so small that at the time it was so hurtful to me, and I didn't even think that was evidence. I didn't even know they had went to you, because when you're in all the interviews you're telling such all the different things that's happened. So the fact that they did, and that was evidence. So this is the type of thing I'd like others to know that's experiencing this. It's just like, even me coming today, I was like, oh my God, the universe is just that and coming back around, because I knew and believed in my heart and soul that one day I would put this right with you. And one day, even if I thought that was you at the other end of that phone, which it wasn't, we both know that now, I still thought I'll get the opportunity to meet you one day and you'll know who I am as a person, and you'll know that was not me who he was trying to portray as me.
So just for everyone listening, and he didn't only do this with me, he did this with another person that was in the public eye, that basically you were led to believe that he was friends with both of us. He had told us his version of events, like that you had abandoned your child, that you went to Thailand to get treatment, and that we were saying, oh, how could she do that? She's a terrible person. And he was relaying this information back to you, that these people think you're a terrible person. How could you do this?
It's sad because he used to do that. He used to send messages to so many different people. Like, this was a lot of people, and he'd send them messages to me. And at the start, I remember actually sent to somebody who worked with my friend, my best friend. And I was so embarrassed thinking that this girl who works with my friend is going to think this of me. And even that alone, the shame and that, I remember saying, please stop doing that. Please. And the only way to get him to stop doing that was for me to forgive him, which is nuts, I know. But for somebody to try sabotage your character, I couldn't believe that someone was actually able and was just allowed to do this. And you cannot stop them.
Basically, it wasn't this toxic abuse, wasn't just existing within your four walls. He was involving people all the time. So like texting things to other people, threatening that he knew information about people in your life and he was going to, convict them or?
Oh yeah, well, he was going to destroy their life also. Like, he was going to destroy them. Like, okay. If anybody that was in my life or anybody that believed me, he was going to destroy their life.
So he was able then to control you and keep you with him by involving all of these innocent people in his issues, basically.
Yeah. So to how calculated, I will just never know, to even come up with these ideas to try hurt me. It was so deeply sad and painful. because I didn't, I think I even had to go to my therapist even when we got in touch. I was like, and I probably had just, because I had so much going on at all the different times in my life. And I actually went and I actually spoke about this situation and I was so upset and I was so, I realised how much pain that caused me. But it was actually great to deal with it because there's so many different things that I probably would have kept it all inside me and never even realised because there was so much other stuff. So, yeah, I'm so glad now that I've actually been brave enough to get in touch. And I'm so grateful that you reached out to me because you didn't understand. And obviously we had to both join the dots together to realise what had happened. So it's just... unbelievable, I think, to actually be here and to see that everything has turned around and to where we are now, that sometimes the universe can be unbelievable.
Yeah, and I remember when I was on the phone to you, like, it was really important to me that you believed me, that I'd never heard from him and I'd never spoken to him. And then when I thought about it more, I was like, how badly were you controlled and abused that you would think somebody else that had cancer would call you a terrible person for going abroad to get treatment? Like, that's how warped he had your mind, that you would believe that that I or somebody else would think that that was a terrible thing to do.
I think it was because he was portraying I'm a bad mum. I think that was the bit that hurt, and he was lying, and I knew these things were lies. So saying, like, I didn't turn up in the airport to meet him with the child when they arrived in Bangkok. And it was the only time I took off the hospital treatment was I went in so early so I could leave a few hours earlier. I think the mum bit of it all, he must have known that, because I think he looked for always weakness to where. So I think from the time I had the baby, he could see how much I loved my son. So I think he seen a weakness to where he could use to hurt me. So in every way, in any way he could to do that, that's what he'd do.
Yeah, so he was weaponizing you. The thing that you, the biggest gift you'd ever been given in your life, becoming a mom, like your beautiful son, and he was weaponizing you with that. It's just, so we could talk for a week, right? And I would just recommend everyone go and buy the book, and because I think a lot of the book is so intimate that I think it's between you and the reader. And I think sometimes, and not to speak for you, but like, you can write things down in a book that you can't really say out loud.
I think there's a lot. I think I have spoke to people about the book, but I definitely think I like to read it. I feel like I wrote that for someone sitting in their bed privately, from me to the reader, that I don't even feel comfortable speaking some of the stuff because I feel it is very intimate. And I feel like that's what the book is about. I feel like for anyone that reads it, I nearly feel like they're becoming my friend.
Yeah.
Because they're in my mind, they're in my head, and nobody, not even my family, and even they knew some stuff, but nobody in my family ever knew the story to when they read it. Nobody ever knew a lot of the stuff. Yeah,
it's mad, isn't it, how like our friends and family and those closest to us sometimes just have no idea. Can I ask you a question that I hope will help other people going through this? And it's probably a question that people are like, are afraid to ask, or it's not a PC question, and they don't know if they're doing wrong by you by asking this, but what do you say to people when they say, why didn't you leave? Like, can you help people who have never experienced this understand why their sisters stay, why their best friend stays? Like, only you can answer that. I think that by you answering that, it will really help people feel understood and seen.
They feel trapped. Like, they don't feel there's a way out. And that's the saddest bit of it, I feel. Unless you're in that situation, you'll never understand. Even somebody that's watching you in it, I honestly don't think they can understand. because you're trying to put a brave face on. You're trying to go to work. You're trying to pretend everything is okay and you're happy. And you have to go home and you're living in hell. So I definitely would like to say to anybody that is living in the situation, just take that first step, because I haven't got here from taking a massive step. The only way I'm sitting here is because I keep taking small, tiny steps and I don't think about tomorrow. I only got through each day as it came. I didn't think about where am I going to live? Where am I going to go? I didn't think about that. I just took that day and I thought, if I get through today and feed my son and put him into bed and he's living in a safe home, I live in such a beautiful, peaceful home. And I know every woman says that we stay for our children. And I totally understand that because I know the reasons. But until you get to experience leaving, I know I've left for my son. I feel I left more for my son than I did myself at times. Because I wanted to give him what every child in the world deserves, is a peaceful home. Like, my child wouldn't even know what an argument is. He wouldn't know what a raised voice is. And I just think your child deserves that also. We don't want to recreate this pattern. But if that's all they're seeing and watching, they always say, how do you know if your child is happy? They know if your mum is happy. If the mum is happy, so is your child.
That's so powerful, Nicola. Obviously, your son was a miracle and the greatest gift you've ever been given. I think you'll allow me to say that. Absolutely. On your behalf. Was he sent to you not just for a reason to get you out of a terrible relationship, but he's obviously made every moment better since he was born, every moment of your life?
I think the only reason why I'm alive is because the love of my son. Because I'd never want to leave him. And because I couldn't even imagine the love between and the bond between a mother and a child. Like, I always love. But by God, was my mum right when she told me that I definitely should have a child? Because, like, I am going nowhere because, like, I obviously do worry. Of course I do. But the love for my son, I will never, ever, ever give up because I'm so stubborn. And I obviously adore my son. I just adore my son. He's the love of my life. And he is the greatest gift that God has ever given me. I feel so lucky. And I know all us mums say that. I honestly know God sent me a lovely angel. I just didn't realise there was boy angels too. I always thought it was just girl angels because I love girls. But I obviously realise now, definitely, like, I was sent an angel. I feel he's my angel, yeah.
Why were you sent a boy, do you think?
I definitely realised, I know why I was sent a boy. I think I needed to feel real love from a man. I don't think I ever knew what, and I craved it all my life. And I obviously, I have it on my sisters and being a girl, I just thought I probably would have a girl, even though I knew I was having a boy the whole time. But I thought, what am I going to do with a boy? What am I going to do with a boy? I wouldn't have a clue. But by God, God definitely sent me the right child, because I have craved the love, I think the proper real love from a man my whole entire life. And I think that's what's got me into this situation too. And I'm not afraid to say that, because I definitely think all us women want to be loved and we want to meet that right person that will love us in the same way back. So I got the happy ending. It's just a little tiny small version. And but like I don't think I could ever love another man in the way I love my son. I know that's very scary for any man out there listening to me. But I think they definitely would have a competition. As in, not a competition, but it would definitely be this love, like Jesus Christ. I think I will die a happy woman.
Do you know what I was just thinking when you were speaking there? When the right man comes along, the right one will be more than happy to be in second place there, I think.
I think so, yeah.
A short break and a huge thank you to Electrosol for supporting the Good Glow this season. So what do electrolytes do? Such a good question, isn't it? Well, I'm pretty new to electrolytes, but I now cannot live without them. You don't need to be an athlete to take them. They simply help you stay hydrated by helping your body absorb and retain water, keeping you energized and refreshed. As often, essential electrolytes can be lost due to exercise, hot weather, travel, and other factors. Electrosol is available in flavors like blackcurrant, lemon and raspberry, and orange. It's vegan friendly, gluten-free, caffeine-free, and GMO-free. So pop into your local chemist or find even more information on electrosol.ie.
Can you tell me about the first time you felt free? Now, when you said that you would drive over to me and I was like, are you sure you're okay? And I can meet you somewhere and you can follow me up the road and just kind of being like OTT with you. And you were like, I'm grand, I'll find it. I'm delighted to get in my car. And when I picture you in your car, and even though it's like a freezing cold February day, the sun is shining and your hair is blowing in the wind. I don't know why, but you're so, that just came across so much. That's like your personality, I think, is like just a really strong, independent woman. Like I got that from the first page of your book, you know, like it was just before, after, during. You've always been strong, Nicola. I know that. But can you tell me about the first time you felt free of Paul?
I think today I walked out of the courtroom. Once he had a phone, I didn't feel safe. So I think that day, as much as it was horrendous, I felt free. I felt free. I felt what I've always used to live my life like, which I took myself for granted because it was just normal life. But that day, yeah, as much as all the sadness, I just remember knowing, picking up my phone, and I don't know, from that day, I felt safe in this country.
Wow. That answer, like, I've never thought about it like that. Like, even thinking what was going through my hand there is Nikita Hand and everything she's going through. Like, how can she feel safe when he has a phone in his hand? Or everything that we've witnessed, Kanye West, the hate coming from him over the weekend. How does Kim Kardashian, like her children, you know, trying to protect her kids, how does she feel safe when he has a phone in his hand? Do you see this as a before and after in your life? Like, do you feel like a different person? You know the way I was saying, like, you're a strong, independent woman underneath it all. But do you feel like you're in this new chapter now? Because your understanding of women and the way you can go into a room now and educate people on coercive control, it's like you've been given a job now. And I feel like you're the right woman for the job to go out and use your voice about this.
Yeah, I feel like growing up, I was always this girl that stuck up for women. Like, it's mad. So then when it happened to me, I was so ashamed and embarrassed. And I've gone through all the motions and I've dealt with it in therapy. That's why I'm here today. I feel like because I'm actually dealing with it all. And even for me to have made the documentary, like, trust me, when I was going through the media, I did not want to be in the papers. And then I did say to myself after time, I thought, well, if I'm saying this message out to women, I have to own this. Like, I do have to own it. And I am growing as I'm doing these things also, and I'm learning. And I want people to understand that I used to mistake what being brave is. I didn't really understand what being brave is. I honestly never felt that. And everybody kept telling me, you're so brave, you're so brave. And I felt the complete opposite to this. But what a really wise man told me, that the difference of being brave is that even though you're terrified and you're scared, you still do it anyways, because it's the right thing to do. And that's what makes you brave. So it doesn't mean that people don't see people at home when they see them in the media. People don't see the courage and strength and the pain and the tears and the sleepless nights that you don't get to see in the papers.
Yeah.
Because that's what it takes just to get justice and to have some type of normal life. So for me to actually do the documentary and be sitting here today and talking about this, I'm growing all the time. I'm learning about myself, and I want to make the message clear to other girls or men that's suffering, that wherever stage you're in right now, you won't always be there. And we want the country to change. We want it to change, that it's not a big bad thing that I went out and told this. Everybody's telling me I'm so brave because I told the truth. Everybody's telling me this, but I only actually told the truth. As much as, yeah, it was horrendous to have to do this, I shouldn't have to be applauded, because most people actually won't speak up and tell them what's happening to them.
Yeah.
And most people want to pretend they're living this normal, beautiful life, but you're going to have a life sentence. Like, I had a horrendous life for a while, but I don't live in that life anymore. I have a beautiful, normal life where I actually think it'd be better if you're living in this situation by going to prison and actually being put into prison away from them. Because I remember driving by Mountjoy Women's Prison, and Paul said to me, you're going to end up in there. And I was confused, because he was being nice. And he was like, you're going to end up in there for killing me, he said. And I remember, even though I was shocked, I remember saying to him, but don't worry, I'd still have a great time. I'll meet loads of friends. And sure, like, I'll make the best of no matter what happens to me. And he knew. He says, you're right, you would, wouldn't you? He was always trying to see. He obviously thought, if I get her, if she's locked up, no other man can have her, you know? So if she does something to me, he will try get me locked. That's what his mind was thinking in that moment. But I could see in that moment, he was thinking of how he could break me, and exactly. And I was like, I was letting him know, you will never break me. No matter what you do to me, I will make the best of any situation. Like having cancer. Mm. I've met amazing, beautiful friends. I've had one of the best days of my life opened that cancer ward. As in, no matter where you put me, that's why I've survived. That's why I'm alive, because I'll always see something good in the worst day. It could be raining outside, and the days that I can get out of bed and I can get up and feed my baby, I honestly dance around the house. But that moment kept me alive for the rest of the day. Because that's like what Georgie says. That's what I love when she says the green light moments. All these things is like, I feel like she's reading my mind, I think, half the time. But I'd be like, I love them little things. All them little things. And as you say, they add up. And they get you to where we're sitting on the couch today.
Yeah.
From me being ashamed, and from them messages a few years ago, and me and you sitting on this sofa today and trying to help others by having this conversation. It's a lovely feeling. I'll sleep good tonight knowing we're trying to help others and do good in the world today.
But you know that I'll get a message now, just say it's raining when this podcast is released, or whoever the person is that needs to hear it is listening, and they will say, oh God, I woke up in the worst mood because it was raining, and then I heard Nicola say she danced around the kitchen and got to feed her child, and it changed my day. Might even change that person's life, because it's just hearing something like that just makes people think differently. And that is your gift now, that you're going to pass on to thousands of women in the rooms that you go and speak in, your voice will change lives.
Well, I feel like even when I went to work, like, I don't think you can actually be your best when you're living in situations like this. So I think for even any employees, that it's like to actually support women, that we have a lot of companies or men that's suffering. And to me, it's like, if you want the best from the people in this country, like, I think your home life is so important. Your home life. If you're suffering at home, how can you be at your best? It's just not possible.
Yeah. They could literally be saving someone's life by having you in to talk.
I get so many messages, like so many messages. And even from women that say to me, thank you, because I didn't understand. I never understood until I read your book. Thank you for making me realise to why women do stay. When I get that, because that's the way I knew when I wrote the book, I really have to spell this out and be so honest and tell everybody. And as much as it's so hard, but I want society to change in this country, because I don't want young girls growing up having to live a life, because we're all ashamed and no one will actually tell their parents. We will hide it because you love this person or you think you love them, where love can be dangerous. So I think it's even the new generation. I know my son's going to grow up and be a wonderful husband. And I think us women now, we're raising great men, but we're raising awareness that to no matter what, who this is happening to, if it's a colleague in work, if you're being bullied, we're so ashamed to say, you think I can't defend myself. I should be able to stand up to this person. Like, I see it in so many places. I'm only in Tesco and I'm watching how a man is treating an older lady, and I'm giving him the eyes to say, like, I'm watching, I can see this all around me now. Like, it's so sad that it's happening everywhere. If you actually open your eyes, you can see by someone's demeanour and how they're treating and speaking to people. My eyes are opened now and I feel, yeah, I feel like I can use my experience, and I hate that it's all happened to me, but if I can use it and do something good with it, well, then I feel like it's not all pain.
Yeah. And that's your job now. It's to educate people. And you're doing it. You are doing it. And thank you for coming on the Good Glow. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for believing me when I said I never sent a message and I don't know who this person is. Like, I know that we're going to be friends for a long time. Like, we're soul sisters now.
Absolutely.
Can I just ask you one thing before I go? And, like, do you ever feel scared anymore?
No, I actually don't. I feel at peace. I feel at peace. And at the end of the day, like, I have the whole country protecting me. At the end of the day, one time in my life, I told nobody, absolutely nobody. And I was suffering in silence on my own. And if I can show anybody else out there that's suffering, if you actually just use your voice, find your voice again, because I lost mine for a long, long time. Just find your voice. That's all you need to do.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Oh my God. Thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure. It's absolutely such a pleasure to be here.
I'm going to link your website, your book, your Instagram, everything. And I know that, you know, I look out my window every morning and I say, what if today is just the beginning? And that gives me so much hope every day. And I know that you totally understand when I say that. But yeah, thank you for sharing your story so bravely.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Huge thank you to Nicola. As always, I've left an important phone number in the show notes if you need to reach out and ask for help. You know, I think through really tough times can come really great friendships. And Nicola Haney is one of those really special friendships that hopefully I will have in my life for a very long time. The best way that you can support myself or Nicola is to head over to Instagram, leave us a comment. We love to read the comments on Instagram. You can leave a rating, review. thank you so much to all of the Good Glow community for everything that you bring to these episodes. Although you are listening and may feel like you're not a part of it, you absolutely are. We feel the support, the love and the energy, and you are so special. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week.